Network. Because you can handle the truth.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Okay, we're back. This is Ralph Corbett Winterroad II with the Ralph Winterroad Show, coming to you live out of Alaska. And we're talking about the joys of being a citizen of the United States. You have no constitutional rights, no political rights. You're stuck. And I'm going to go over this again because it's so important, and we're going to move it out to the, quote, what we think of the several states and the National Voter Registration Act. By the way, the Quorum Nobis, it says here, applied to the writs of error. By the way, those were done away with the 1920s, directed to another branch of the government, and it goes into Nisus Priestus Courts. So that's another whole can of worms. I researched out this habeas corpus ad subjunctum, and that's what we got. I just checked, and they haven't moved on it yet. I don't know what's going to, I don't have no idea what they're going to do, because they've never seen anything like this, not even close. It's amazing. We called down to the Otter Tail court and talking to the person that's working there on the administration for the court system, and she says, what's a habeas? God, I tell you, you can't make this stuff up, because nobody ever does any of this stuff. They just don't do it. It's amazing. So anyway, getting back to this thing, to summarize again, and then we'll continue on with it. Because we've got to tie these things together, evidence-wise, with their stuff. So we can conclusively prove by many Supreme Court that if you're a citizen of the United States in the District of Columbia, the Internal Revenue Code has application to you. We can prove, no matter where you are domiciled, in Mexico or France or whatever, you're stuck with the bill. Unless you've expatriated, you're stuck with it, no matter where you go. And they say use the word domicile. So you're stuck if you are a citizen of the United States. In their world, you have no right to an Article III court. What does that mean? That means the constitutional court protections don't apply. You are under a United States District Court, which in 1948, they put the territorial courts, they put the constitutional courts, They put the District of Columbia courts all in Chapter 5, like the same thing as saying, well, let's see, we're going to put all of the eagles, the ospreys, the doves, and the robins all inside of a little bird cage, and they're all birds. So therefore, they're all the same. I don't think so. I'm sure the robin and the dove sure as a heck don't think that they're the same thing as an eagle. That's what they did. And they say, well, everything's in, and they did it. And you know what their authority was in the revisor's notes? It's accepted practice. We've been getting away with it, and y'all out there in the hinterlands have been so stupid, you don't know any better. You're right. We don't. We didn't. How would we know? So how did they accomplish this? So now let's go over to summarize the ones in there, and let's see how it applies to out here in the hinterlands, outside of the D.C. Conclusively, a citizen of the United States has no political rights. So you have civil rights. That means you can go into court and be treated equally with every other citizen of the United States. Now, when they created the citizen of the United States in 14 Stat 27 to have the same rights as all white citizens in 1866, they memorialized it in the 14th Amendment, didn't change a damn thing. Crookshank, Slaughterhouse, all kinds of cases, says nothing changed. Then in 1870, they started off with under the color of law, today known as 42 U.S.C. 1983 lawsuits. You're a citizen of the United States, and it's under color of law. Because you see, a citizen of the United States, if you're in D.C. or a district, how are you going to sue a citizen of one of the several states? Well, let's just make everybody under the color of law all citizens of the United States. Well, we got around that puppy. That's pretty easy. Color of law. Isn't that amazing? Color. What happened to the law? Why do we need color of law? Oh, step into the land of Oz. So we had another problem. So now we're in the D.C. Let's see. We have no representation, no political rights. You have no right to a constitutional court. Unlimited taxation. You can't vote for president, Congress, so you get to just, you can go down and show up at Pelosi and Schumer and say, hey, I really like what you guys are doing, but I don't, well, ain't nothing I can do about it. Be nice. Be gentle. No matter where you go, you're stuck with it. And you go to Mexico or go to France, if you're a citizen of the United States, you're stuck with it. So how did they get the several states into this mess? First of all, they needed the 17th Amendment done away with. First of all, they got everybody to be, after the 14th, everybody thinks they're a citizen of the United States. You're not. Those are all prohibitive. Supreme Court said so. Got a whole research on it done by Congress. These are prohibiting state law and state actors. Then nothing to, and only Congress can legislate for a citizen of the United States. So how do they do this? So in the 17th Amendment, it talks about the people of the several states. That's the people that get to, those are the ones that get to vote in the House of Representatives. So how did they, the people of the several states? So in the 17th Amendment, they just put people of the state. They left out several. Isn't that amazing? How just one little word. So we got people of the state. Well, we got the state. We're all signing up to be citizens of the United States. There are no people of the United States, the several states. Yeah, one little damn word. I found that. I couldn't believe it. This is the con. I mean, this is just, it's total fraud. Let out one little word. So it's people of the state instead of people of the several states in the Constitution. So we did that. Well, guess what happened after the 17th Amendment? Guess what? The United States of America sovereign body politics showed up in 1913, and by 1916, the real party of interest that was the United States, just United States, from 1789 to 1913, no longer was found in then the district courts of the United States. And now it went to the United States of America, sovereign body politic. Oh, wait a minute. What does that mean? Well, if you go look at the statutes, they were from the early 1900s. They started doing statutes of the United States. Then they had parallel laws or laws of the United States of America. Then pretty soon there's no laws of the United States. And then by around 1930, we started the public laws. And pretty soon there's no laws of the United States of America. It's all public law, PL stuff. It's all nonsense. You can see where it all transitions. They're just doing it. Just every couple of years they're doing this stuff. So they transition. But the big thing is, how'd they get the several states? Oh, that was pretty good. That was 1935. They did the Social Security Act. And that's the unemployment insurance. Because, oh, all these poor folk, we got this thing, we got you so screwed. Well, they used the excise tax out of the Constitution. And the excise taxes have to be equally applied all across everywhere. Well, so how do we do that? We will create an employer, a statutory employer. They actually have a statutory employee in the on 1099 stuff. Pay attention. A statutory employer, which is, it is a benefit. It's like a franchise. It is a benefit to be a statutory employer, and we're going to call that an excise tax because that's the benefit, and it's got to be equally applied. So they made all of the states, because all there was a lot of argument and a lot of them didn't want to go along with it. But they got it. They forced them all, for whatever means, it's in the congressional record and in the legislative history. Boy, then we'll call it an excise tax. So the FICA, the unemployment insurance, is an excise tax. And by the way, I found too where there was an error in the printing of the Constitution initially, because it would have read a little different under that area. I got to go back and find that. But anyway, so now we have that, and if you're an individual, it's a privilege to work for this person that is an employer. They say it's a privilege, just like being a privilege to invest in a corporation. And we will call that, in the legislative history, federal income tax. So what you think you're doing is you're contributing to federal income tax because it's a privilege to work for a statutory employer created by Congress, because they're out to protect you and grab you a benefit. So now we move up to the public 1939 Public Salary Act, 1939. Boy, that's a killer. Because you see, the state couldn't tax the federal. They couldn't tax federal income tax. And the federal income tax, the people that were in the actual federal areas, enclaves, they couldn't do state tax. They couldn't tax each other. So they got together and they said, well, I'll tell you what we do. Let's make an agreement. Because this is in the economic aspect. This is on this is in Senate Report 112. It's part of the habeas, by the way. I thought I put the highlighted one in there, but I didn't. February 24th, 1939. And it's amazing what they say. I mean, they talk about this. It says federal employees, it says at the present time, federal employees are subject to federal income taxes but are exempt from state income taxes. State and local employees, on the other hand, are subject to state income taxes but are exempt from federal income taxes. Do you believe this? This is 1939. So what did they do? Well, let's just get together. We'll make a 1939 Public Salary Act, and we'll agree. You tax me, and I'll tax you. And we're going to call it federal income tax. And it's under Halvering versus Gerhardt. But see, that's what's amazing is this stuff is, without this legislative history stuff, you don't know what these guys are doing. And they talk about the 16th Amendment only removed the initiation for appointment for the states to do it. It didn't change nothing else. It's big con. It's people that think the 16th Amendment is going to do something for them. It's not going to do anything. So what do we get to in this is amazing, is down in this, They talked, since the Gerhardt, the Halvering, and Therell cases, they talk about the Gerhardt case, clarified and restated the basis for the liability of such person for federal income tax. Federal income tax. The Supreme Court of the United States stated who is going to be liable for federal income tax. Well, isn't that amazing? Because you go into that, and let me get into the habeas here that I got. So I can get the exact site of this. Let me put stuff in here. The federal income tax is under the public, and it's Halvering versus Gerhardt, 304 U.S. 405. Footnote number 6. And they go into it. It's only about the employees of the state and federal. And, of course, this marches right along with Title 26, 331, under levy, can only be done on the employees. Not long, 26, Title 26 is basically not used. It's all 1939 code. But they go in, the Supreme Court clarified, it's nothing to do with you and me if you're a citizen of one of the several states. Now, if you want to sign up to be a citizen of the United States, they have to keep getting us to sign up for it. This is not like Esau in the Bible, where he gave up his birthright and his property for some lentil beans and soup. And then God ended up hating him in Romans because he did that. The only way we can permanently give it up is to expatriate. So we have to prove that we are not a citizen of the United States. Now, that was one of the cases they brought up, Slater or something, in McAlpine's case. Very poorly done from my perspective. But people say my stuff's poorly done, but whatever. It just reinforced it. So the courts have said, if you're not a citizen of the United States, you have to prove it. Otherwise, you're done. So how do we prove I'm not a citizen of the United States? You must put it into the public record. It stands and is certified as it's true until proven otherwise. It's a public record. You must get around and try to vote and exercise your elective franchise and your suffrage as a citizen of whatever state you're in. I've done it up here. I put the copy of the public record in. They took it. I even got a driver's license. I went over and changed that. Do you know when you get a driver's license in Alaska, it says you got to be a citizen of the United States. It goes immediately one step back to the public, the National Registration Act of 1993. Why in the world would that have anything to do with a driver's license? We're going to get to that. So we got a public, we got the state and the feds agreeing for federal income tax. Where would I find federal income tax? Oh, I find it on line 61 of the Form 1040, OMB 1545-0074. Yeah, there it is, right there on line 61, federal income tax. I love those nice, concise words. McAlpine's case on his indictment uses federal income tax. Yeah, it's there. Well, it's only for an employees because the legislative history, the Supreme Court clarified it. So why are you coming after me? Us. Well, they've done a little con because as soon as they got the Public Salary Act through, how are we going to, now I'm out in the hinterlands, I'm in Alaska, or say you're in Minnesota, or you're in North Carolina or Texas, and you're a citizen of Texas or a citizen of Minnesota. How do we hook you? Well, let's pass the Buck Act. That's a good thing. So what's the Buck Act do? And the states are using the Buck Act against us. Not totally correct, but they're doing it. So we just got to say, okay, well, what's the game? What are you doing here? Now, in 4 United States Code 111, they have this taxation of federal employees, affecting taxing employees' income taxes the same. So it's like the 1939 code. Back in a minute. Thank you.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Okay, well, we're back here. We got a call out of Colorado, the White Rose. Question, comment on our subject?
Yeah, Ralph, I got a question for you. Thanks for taking my call, first of all.
Sure.
Are you a citizen of the state you happen to be habitating in, or
nope.
the state
nope.
you were born
in? Nope, I'm a citizen of a state that I am domiciled in, and that state has to be one of the several states. And it has to be one of the states of the Union of States. Go ahead.
So wait a minute. By domiciled in, you mean living in at the present time?
No, I mean domicile. You only have one domicile. That's where your permanent home is. You can reside all other southern. Habitate is another way. Domicile is the word that you only have one. That's the word. So when you have a domicile, you got one.
So if I was born in New Jersey...
Yeah,
and my family lives in New Jersey, but I don't live there anymore. I live in Colorado.
So
that
you're
means
a
I'm
Colorado.
Domiciled.
You're a citizen of Colorado now.
Yeah, except is Colorado actually a lawful state?
A lot of these things exist, but they don't use them no more because we've agreed to. They've been overthrown, and nobody knows. And until you step out of that. Colorado's still there. It's just like the Ten Commandments still there, but you don't have to use them.
But technically, Colorado is not on the same level as the state of New Jersey as far as being one of the several states.
Yes, it is. If it came in on an equal footing with the original states, the problem that we have
but didn't it come in on the Constitution of 1871?
I don't know when Colorado. I'd have to go look it up. I have the stuff of when it came in. Did it come in on an equal footing with the original states? I'll bet it probably did in the enacting clause. If it did, then you're in. The thing that they changed, they started doing proclamations by the president. But they still kept it the same.
Since the state of Colorado and all the states after 1871, they came into the Union after 1871, came in on the legal fiction corporate constitution of 1871, which is the constitution for the corporation of the United States.
Nope, you're mixing a whole bunch of apples. You're mixing a whole bunch of the Constitution of the United States never went away. Now, what happened in 1871? They changed the statutes of the United States, and they no longer say, and be it further enacted. So they technically quit making laws of the United States in 1871. But what they were doing back then, the Constitution of the United States is still there. You can come in on an equal footing with it, but then it's like you, if you were born in New Jersey, you have the law of the land of being a citizen of New Jersey. When you go to Colorado, you're a citizen of Colorado. No matter whether you like it or not, you are. Now, what they do to you when you get there, they say, well, would you like to be the character of a citizen of the United States? Would you like one of our corporate driver's license? Would you like to pay our corporate taxes? Would you like to do everything is bank account? It's all tied to being a citizen of the United States. You have to keep signing up because you automatically are tied in to being a citizen of Colorado, whether you like it or not or know it.
All right. So do you know about this thing called LEAP, L-E-A-P, which is a program you sign up to get assistance for heating and stuff like that?
No, I don't. But anytime you get assistance, you're a citizen of the United States by some means, or you're a state of the United States, guaranteed.
Okay, but all right. So I didn't sign up for it because they ask you three questions under penalty of perjury and going to jail, right? They ask you if you're a citizen of the United States. They ask you if you're a what's the other two. A foreign citizen, I guess that's one with a green card, and they ask if you're a what's the other one? The other
probably an alien lawfully admitted would be my guess.
Okay, so I call them up and I says, well, how can I answer one of these three questions as to what my status is if I don't know what the definition is? So I asked them, could you please tell me what is the definition of a citizen of the United States and what is the definition of a resident alien, right? What do they call it? Resident alien?
Yep.
And they told you
to get a lawyer.
No, I can't get nobody to answer the question. Nobody
because
will answer me the question.
They can't.
They don't know the answer?
They don't know the answer. All these low-level people have no clue. Only the higher-level people know the con. They have no idea what's going on.
So how can you sign up for this?
Well, what you do with all these different things is you have to scratch it out, or the thing, if you really have to do it, some things, if you have to do the law of necessity, I just print the name in all caps. That's their world. Put in a K with no period, Winter Road, Roman numeral 2. Because under the law of necessity, if you're going to accept the benefit, there's no way that you can operate totally in this world without being tied into these guys.
But if you put that down and you put it in all caps, you're lying because you're making yourself a legal fiction.
Well,
which is
a make-believe
entity.
It's their world, or you just do without.
Yeah,
that's all you can do.
That's what I'm doing. I'm doing without, because I can't get them to answer the question. Because if I could sign that I'm a resident alien of the state of New Jersey...
Well, if you had your political status in, you could file that in like I do with my voter registration and say, here it is now. You got a problem with this? And they look at it and say, nope.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yep. Well, thank you very much, Ralph. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks for answering my question.
Yep.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Well, we're back here, and we've established conclusively. These are called unassailable facts. They can't dispute them. A citizen of the United States in the District of Columbia, you have no political rights. You have no right of representation. You have no control over the taxes that are Congress has unlimited power of taxation over you. And they can find you anywhere in the world. No matter where you're domiciled, even in Mexico or wherever. And the IRC, Internal Revenue Code, has application to a citizen of the United States. And there's cases that say if you can't prove you're not a citizen of the United States, you're stuck. Well, how do you prove that you're not? Three things. This is important, and then we're going to get back to the rest of this. You have to file into the public record you're a citizen, because they use public records against us. Always. All these cases always have public records. The other thing they always use is declarations. All these cases about sanctuary cities and these attorneys are putting in declarations of stuff that's just nonsense, but they're doing it. They get away with it. They put in declarations tied to a public record. That's the con. It's like a summary judgment in the law. And you have to then rebut, because it's like an original complaint. You're supposed to rebut the complaint. Well, they put in these other things, and it's a summary judgment, or they put in a motion to dismiss, and if they put attachment, it turns into a summary judgment. That's the con. We got them to admit it. So what do? You have to have a public record of who you are. I got to redo it. I have been going to do it, but I keep getting more information, the updated, because under Evidence Rule 901, number 7 is self-authenticating. Number 2, you must try to vote and exercise the elective franchise, whether they let you or not. I modify the forms. California, I can't modify, so you'd have to scratch it out because it's a done color and all kinds of nonsense. But put in your public record. I've done it in Alaska, and they allowed it. I want to vote as a citizen of Alaska for a constitutional republic. Because if you don't have, if you're not a citizen of one of the several states, you don't have any right to the administration or to say so in what type of government you have, Republican form of government that's guaranteed in the Constitution. You've surrendered that. You just don't know it. Because you have no political rights. And the third thing is to be a, quote, national of the United States. I don't know if United States is defined. I got to look and see, but it's on your passport. If you don't know it, they always want to say, well, we're going to take away your passport if you don't get around and pay your income tax stuff. Oh, really? Okie dokie. Well, let's see here. What is a national of the United States? Because it's amazing. Why would they put this in there? See, they always have... There's two stuff. One thing that I found out is that Lucifer and the Creator, they can't use the same stuff. They always, it's always different. So what the devil does, Satan or these globalists or whatever, these evil SOBs, they redefined everything to means. Means is a whole new exclusive use of a word, like dog means cat or dog means a moon, dog means Obama, whatever. When it says means, it's the exclusive new use. So they use the term, it says here, this is 8 United States Code, 1101A22B, capital B. There's an A and a B. It says the term, in quotes, national of the United States, end quote, means. So when they put it in quotes, that's what they're talking about. Means says we're giving it a brand new exclusive definition. A citizen of the United States, or you got to be one or the other, right? B, a person who, though not a citizen of the United States, owes permanent allegiance to the United States. That's us. Because if I'm domiciled in Alaska, I owe permanent allegiance to the United States. Absolutely. Because Alaska's a union, supposed to be a member union of one of the several states, or a union of states. Of course I owe a permanent allegiance. And that's on the passport on the right-hand side. Flip it open. It says Citizens National of the United States. So when they start threatening you that they're going to do that, well, there's a way around that. So anyway, three things must be done. You must get your status into the public record. You must get around and try to vote for a republic as a citizen of whatever state you're in. I modify them. And I put the public record on there, and then you give them notice that you are a national of the United States, 8 United States Code 1101A22B. What they going to do? They will never put in that you're a citizen of the United States. So see, these are things they won't talk about. Rob in Illinois, question, comment?
Hello, Ralph. Thank you for having me on. Yes, this. I think what I'm about to tell you guys will help clarify what a citizen of the United States is. There are two types of citizens of the United States. There's an Article 1 under Congress, and then there's an Article 3 under the judiciary. And I just sent it to you, the information. It's just one little paragraph. It says, the Supreme Court has the authority to define citizen for the purposes of Article 3, but that Congress had superior authority to define citizen for the purposes of Article 1. So all these citizens of the United States, if they come under Congress, they're an Article 1 citizen. We don't want to be the Article 1 citizen. We want to be the Article 3. And then because the Article 3 comes under the judiciary, and under the judicial department, that is the only department where naturalization can take place. Nowhere else. And if you're naturalized under the legislature, it's not real naturalization. So this, I hope, will help clarify.
Yeah, do you know what the naturalization documents have said since the beginning of time of 1789 to now? What's your status? Do you know what that is?
You go ahead and tell them.
Okay, it is a citizen of the United States of America, because the original founding document is the Articles of Confederation for the United States of America. So if you're going to be naturalized, you have to come in as a citizen, what, of the United States of America.
Right. And now, Ralph, the Article 3 citizen is synonymous with state citizenship. So you would have to look under your state constitution and find out where your judiciary comes under that. For Illinois, it's Article 4. So I would be an Article 4 Illinois state citizen. I'm an Article 3 citizen.
Don't know. I can't prove, but go ahead. I'll give you.
I'm an Article 3 citizen, as that term is defined by the Supreme Court.
I've never seen that, what you're talking about. So
okay.
I sent you
the information, and then you
can
look at it.
If you're under Article 3, then you have to be part of one of the citizens of the several states.
Yes, Article 3 citizenship is the same thing as state citizenship. They just said you citizens in the United States.
I'm going to go see, because that citizen of the United States is defined many places. It's all over the place. It's like the word United States. It's
right.
All over.
But when you get in the 1790, 95, and 1802 Naturalization Act, it says any white person can be a citizen of the United States. They said it that way back then, rather than listing all the states, because they knew that new states would come into the Union. So they made it simple: citizen of the United States under Article 3 is the same as state citizenship.
I've seen these people go back to the two United States. You're talking back to back in Statute 2 something or other, right? Well, that citizen of the United States, they use that word, but in reality, the actual document and the status you is not a citizen of the United States. It's a citizen of the United States of America, because I got the earlier ones and I've got the latest ones. It's never changed.
Right.
Because
the original founding
document is the Articles of Confederation, and that's your status. Then you become domiciled in one of the several states, and you become a citizen of Illinois, one of the several states, a member of the Union of States.
Yes, and I urge everybody listening, if you really are interested in the state citizen status, to first get your hands on a Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. And read some of the most key words in there. And you just pick it up. Actually, you can go online and type it up and download some of those words.
I give it away for free.
What, the 1828 dictionary?
Yeah, I have all of them dictionaries. I got all the bouquets.
So, whether they have it in their hands, Ralph, or whether they got it online, get your hands on that. Because every document that you put together, you always attach Noah Webster's. I do it myself. Attach Noah Webster's to that, because then my words are now defined by that dictionary and not by their legal terms.
Yeah, okay.
So we have to define our words, otherwise we're out there.
Well, we do, and that's why I've got a time-tested status thing, and I'm going to modify it again. And I want to finish up here. I want to have time to finish up the I don't want to hurry up, but I want to get around and finish up the National Voter Registration Act, because that's a killer. Okay.
All right, thanks for having me on, Ralph.
You bet.
Okay,
yeah,
have a good okay.
Okay. The next thing that really ties us down, that puts us in a just amazing, because we have the National Voter Registration Act of 1993. Every one of these states, first of all, we got them all signed up back in 1935 because of the excise tax. And they have something called a state plan. I have the state plans for Alaska and North Carolina. In there, you will find your cooperative agreements for all your child custody, for the child slavers. You will find driver's license ad nauseum. Everything is a code of federal regulations called a state plan. And they started that in 1935 with Social Security Act, because under the excise tax, well, we're going to sign up everybody so we have common excise taxes are the same all over. Then we did the 1939 Public Salary Act, so the state people can do tax the feds, and the feds can tax the state. Then we do the Buck Act, 1 year later, 1940. Well, interestingly enough, is in the Buck Act, income tax is defined. Isn't it amazing? They actually could figure out a way to define income tax. So it says the income tax means any tax levied on, respect, or measured by a net income, gross income, or gross receipts. And then they define state, includes any territory or possession. Well, they go on to say federal area. And the first federal area is like a federal enclave. And it says, any federal area or any part thereof which is located in the exterior boundaries within the exterior boundaries of a state shall be deemed to be in a federal area. So if I'm in North Carolina, the exterior boundaries, which is the several states, I'm going to be deemed to be in a federal area, and they determine that type of state as a territory or possession of the United States. Well, could they be considering North Carolina a possession? Oh, yeah. So how would we do this? How would we pull all this code? How do we get us into this mess? And by the way, they use the 1939 code, like the defined person with section 3797 of Title 26, which I guarantee you, the average person is never going to find that thing because it's not in the 1939 code. They put it in after it. I've got it. Saying it's the same nonsense, but why are they using the 1939 code? They're using the Public Salary Act. They're using the Buck Act. And they use 1939 code. And just as a side thing here, let's see, did I download this or not? The only place you will ever find this defined is in Mertens, M-E-R-T-E-N-S, which is a database you can get off of Westlaw, costs money. Any tax imposed by this title means, the only place it's defined, an income tax, a gift tax, an estate tax, admission tax, excise tax, Social Security withholding tax, and wagering tax. You will see that they charge, that's in 7201. Any tax imposed by this title, that's the only place you'll ever find it. Because see, you're not supposed to know what all this, this all goes back to the 1939 code. But anyway, that's just a side issue, like in Mark Alpine's or anybody that's dealing with federal nonsense. So how do we pull this off? How are we going to make this happen? Oh, by golly, let's get around and do the old National Voter Registration Act of 1993. It's at 107 Stat 77 through 109. The right of citizens of the United States to vote is a fundamental right. To vote. To vote. And then they go into defining what's a federal office. And they go back here to the election campaign federal office, and they go up through several places that I had to find out to, where it all come from. Federal office, I don't know where it is now. We'll get to it. And then the other one is the state, the term state, quotation mark, means state of the United States and the District of Columbia. Anytime you combine one of the several states, you can't combine it with the District of Columbia unless it's a state of the United States. So what's a state of the United States? Oh, that's pretty easy. We just get around and state, because I know of, says belonging to. So the state of Minneapolis or Minnesota belongs to the United States. Because that's the definition of the United States. It belongs to it. Well, what does that mean? Because I got cases of 539 F2D301 is a federal enclave and federal area. They're the same thing. So then we're talking about where they have the municipal and plenary power. That's in 107 U.S. 45. This is Parsons versus the District of Columbia. And it is well settled that repeated decisions of this court, the power of Congress to exercise exclusive jurisdiction in all cases within the district, includes the power of taxation. And it also says possesses both a political and municipal nature over the District of Columbia. So they're over these states as a municipal nature. So what they're doing is these states, like Minnesota, that is a state of the United States. It belongs to the United States, and it's like a municipal nature. And then when you go into, great read, 185, American Law Review, FED 155, it goes into, guess what? The National Voter Registration, where you sign up for a citizen of the United States, is only for a federal office, only for a federal office. And, of course, the game that they play, they always tie these things together. So you got to go look it up, another definition. But federal office is the office of the president, vice president, senator, representatives, and or a delegate or resident of the commissioner to the Congress. Isn't that amazing? So when you go to these, the National Voter Registration Act, they got both these things tied together. And it's only federal. There is no state elections. I'll back in a minute.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just calling to tell you what a great product you have. I had used this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Okay, we're back here. So, in 52 United States Code, Section 205, Oath 2, it says, number 2, the term federal office has the meaning in Section 301.013. They always leak stuff. And that's been moved around a lot. But anyway, it says that basically it's only for the president, vice president, and all that. But it's only for citizens of the United States. There is no state elections. There's no state elections. And it says state means a state of the United States. So it means that whatever, quote, state you think you have, it belongs to the United States. So this could fall right in with the definition of a Buck Act of a territory or possession of the United States. It would belong to the United States because it says in it, if you are belong to it, the United States and D.C. You are acting with plenary power, and you're giving you you have no political rights, but you're acting as a municipal entity under Congress. So we're stuck if you want to be a citizen of the United States, because the state that we think we're in is acting as a municipal nature, just like D.C., under the plenary power of Congress. There's your citizen of the United States. You have no rights. So that's why they can get away with these courts out here that don't, the United States District Courts. They don't need any. They don't need a constitutional court. And as soon as jeopardy attaches, a person is sitting there and said, oh, I'm going to get me a trial by jury of my peers. Yeah, right. As soon as jeopardy attaches, and the judge will say, is there anybody, usually they do it in the negative, anybody here not a citizen of the United States? Nobody speaks up. Jeopardy is attached. You have just stepped out of your constitutional republic, and you're saying, I don't want nothing to do with an Article III court. I have no political rights. Congress has unlimited power of taxation over me, no matter where they find me, because that's why they use the names, they always found out there. They always see you or find you somewhere. If you go look in the paperwork, they found you for books and records. Oh, really? It's nice that you found me. The only Article III courts, and we're in Article I, the only constitutional courts left are the Federal Court of Claims, which hopefully we're going to be into this week, this next week, and the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, a bona fide Article III court. There also is a patent court, and I forget the other one. There's two other ones that do patents and does something else. And the Supreme Court of the United States. The United States District Courts are not constitutional courts. There's no rule of law. They're nothing more than an inquisitor. Well, they're Star Chamber courts. All your state courts are the same way, because they're sitting underneath this whole nonsense. There are no public officers. That's why when you start researching it out, there's always flaws in the oaths of office. They don't have the proper bonding, and the words are missing here, and it just goes on and on and on. I've documented it in Alaska. There are no public officers. Nobody has a civil commission, and we even have a judge up here that admitted it. Vanessa White, she says, I don't have an oath of office as a public officer, and I've never been appointed by the governor. What are you going to do about it? And signed it. She says, I'm an undersigned jurist. Yeah, she signs legal documents. She got a law degree. That's what you find in all these states. That's really what's going on. So what we have, the National Voter Registration Act, really limits it. Really, that's a linchpin, because they're all a state of the United States, which means they're a municipal entity of the United States. They belong to the United States and the District of Columbia. So that's all for citizens of the United States. The public Voter Registration Act is only for citizens of the United States. It says so. And the public, a citizen of the United States, has no political rights. You don't have any say-so. We're in a totalitarian dictatorship. Under Congress. That's where the United States of America sovereign body politic comes from. Because guess what? The several states have no standing anymore to elect senators of the United States, because it's all done by citizens of the United States. Anyway, hope you found it interesting. Watch out for the Federalists. God willing, we will see you next Sunday.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcast.